Michael commentary. In order to understand today's message, I'd like to include a portion of Greg's original email and his concern to me. This is not at all meant to be something that we look down on Greg for. I believe, and I would have you know, Greg, after hearing my message, repented, changed his mind, and said he misunderstood his judgment of the situation. But I believe this situation you're about to hear is something that a lot of us might have been taught wrong about. Greg's concern, in a nutshell, was after listening to a video I made on February 15th, 2020, called Michael Criswell Exposed at 1555 in this video. If you haven't seen it, you can search Michael Criswell Exposed on our Relentless Heart website and watch that. So about 16 minutes into that video, I started to cry and I became very contrite. I started the video kind of happy, go lucky, and even being a bit playful. But 16 minutes into the video, I'm kind of in a mess on video where I am reflecting on who I once was. Although I called myself a Christian, I was very much in love with the world, and I was very much serving the God of self. And in that moment, I felt the brokenness and the contrition in my heart. And reflecting on who I was, thinking I was right with God in comparison to who I had become by the mercy and grace of God. That behavior caused him to be confused, and he wrote me the following email. Michael, I listened to your video on Michael Criswell Exposed, and I have a few words that came to me as I listened to you. First, it appears to me that you continually look back on your life and beat yourself up over the past. Since you've come to Jesus, that is just that. It's in the past. You can't change what you have done, and all the remorse you show over the past can't change it either. Trust me, brother, I have more than enough things to dwell on and to weep over as well, but we are not called to do that. And then he goes on to quote Paul in Philippians 3, speaking of the need to forget things behind and press on towards the call of God in Christ Jesus. He then even asks me to consider what would happen if my children had done something that they were terribly upset about and I was deeply disappointed in them for, but then they apologized and repented. Would I want them to go back and continually dwell on it or reflect on it? He said, but wouldn't I rather, since they were forgiven, to have them completely forget about it and move on? And he begins to suggest that that's how the Father would want us to look at it. And while I agree in general that that is the general way we should view this, I want you to understand, as I shared with him, that there are quite a number of places in Scripture that command us and help us to see that it would be wise for us to remember how we have missed the mark, not so that we can feel shame, not so that we can feel guilt, but so that we can once again be in a position of humility, remembering who we are apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Everything in us wants to make us think that this whole thing of Christianity is about us. It is not. It's about Jesus. And everything in us naturally, the same thing that was in Satan naturally that made him become Satan, called pride, that's in us. And I say anything that causes us to have a moment of humiliation, that causes us to remember who we are apart from Jesus Christ, that causes us to go low before the one who has saved us, that causes us to be grateful, filled with gratitude. Remember, forgiven much, love much. Forgiven little, love little. And remember, in Deuteronomy 8, Moses commanded the Israelites, be very careful when you enter into this land and you have eaten and are satisfied that you do not forget the Lord your God. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all this way, humbling you, causing you to hunger, testing you to see what was in your heart, to know whether or not you would keep his commands. And you know, Israel was told to have all these festivals, and much is made up. Remembering Israel was told to have all these festivals of remembrance, and remember how many times God was angry at them for forgetting, for not remembering what God had done for them. And what God had done for them was to save them so often from rebellion, to save them from bondage. And I think that our remembering of that, as long as we're not looking down on ourselves in guilt and shame, but yet we're looking at who we are apart from Jesus Christ. See, whenever I feel remorse or contrition, or I have tears in my eyes, which has happened multiple times since then, sometimes it happens with Lisa and I just having a Bible study, and I'll begin to weep when I tell a story or reflect back on something that reminds me of who I am apart from Christ. It's this mixture of being able to rejoice in the mercy of God and in the spiritual part of me while also being humbled by the natural part of me. This is really important to stand against pride. Remember, grace flows to the humble. So that is the background for what the message is that you're going to hear now. And I'd like to remind you of what Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 10. He reminded his disciples who were highly exalted. He said, just remember that after you've done everything you've been commanded, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. He says, instead, consider yourself only as unworthy servants who have done exactly as you have been commanded. May God bless you as you listen. Hey, Brother Greg, it's Michael. My brother, I want you to know I really appreciate you thinking of me and the sincerity of which you wrote in your concern. I will share with you ever so gently and respectfully that I believe it's unfounded, and I hope that perhaps maybe you've just misunderstood where my heart is at. You know, we obviously have different situations. Number one, you know, I'm in full-time vocational ministry, very public, and then we've had obviously different walks, different backgrounds, and how we came to the Lord. But I will tell you, my friend, that what you are seeing is this ever-increasing humility of recognizing I brought nothing to this table. And that is the point I'm trying to make clear to people that's been in my heart. The Father has allowed me to have a heartbroken that is a good heartbreaking. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, and the servant who does all that his master does shouldn't consider himself anything, but just consider himself, hey, we're only unworthy servants having done what we've been asked to do. And what I have found, my brother, as I've studied a lot of the greats that have gone before us, you know, 200, 300, 400 years ago, even think of Tozer, who died in 69 or 63. There was a humility and an awareness of their nothingness before God. If you've ever had a chance to read the incredible prayers of the Puritans in the book Springs in the Valley, Michael commentary, I made a mistake. The name of the book is not Springs in the Valley. It is Valley of Vision. Springs in the Valley is actually the morning edition of the Streams in the Desert devotional. So forgive me of that. I mention it twice. It is, in fact, the book I'm referring to is called The Valley of Vision. End of commentary.
You'll find an awareness of sin and weakness and nothingness before God and these men that you just don't see in today's church. And being that I'm in a full-time vocational ministry and have, you know, a significant following and lots of people praising me, I believe it has been exceedingly wonderful that God has given me this extra grace to help me to see that I truly brought nothing to this relationship. I brought nothing to this ministry except for just literally a vessel, a jar of clay of which God can put his power inside of, in spite of me, not because of me. And so as I am becoming more and more aware of this, thanks be to the Holy Spirit of God, it comes out. And, you know, you speak of Paul not looking behind, but I also would like to remind you gently that Paul is the very one who said he is the chief of all sinners. And he also said that of all the brethren, he is the least. He said also of the apostles, he is abnormally born, undeserving. And so you see throughout, you know, his letters, you know, brothers, I do not have claimed to even taken hold of it yet. I've not reached perfection, but nevertheless, I press on. And he's talking about how You know, I hope to take on the sufferings of Christ, that somehow I may attain to the resurrection in Christ Jesus, participating in his sufferings. So there's this humility in Paul. And, you know, you see him like, he's a man, obviously, who is capable of crying. He warned the church 3.5 years, day and night, in tears about false teachers leading them astray. And that's really what I'm in touch with, is this very paradoxical reality that you are nothing and something all in the same. For example, I cannot just scream out to everybody, oh, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, God can't use me. Everything you hear and all these praises that come from other people are all just lies. No, I am something, but I'm something in him in spite of the fact, and at the same time, rather, shall I say, I am absolutely nothing apart from him. Jesus said it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you can do nothing, it means you're worth nothing. That's the truth. We are all worth nothing. And yet we're at the same time, paradoxically, worth the Son of God dying for us. It's a very, very deeply mysterious, trying to harmonize this is difficult, but you know, and I can't explain to other people necessarily fully what I'm aware of in my heart, you know, on this, but I have to tell you, brother, I give thanks for it. And also just the final point I would make is, this is not something that leads me into despair. This is something that when I visit it and reflect upon it, which incidentally, if you read Springs in the Valley, you find that these men constantly wanted to be reminded of their nothingness. They did not have this self-confident, you know, Christian quote, self-esteem, you're so loved and you're so special, man. You will not find any of that amongst the greatest Christians that have ever lived. It doesn't exist. They were all worms. They were dirt. They were very aware of their sin. And, you know, these guys would preach that anything that causes you to be more aware of your sinfulness is far greater than any temporary comforts you would experience. That it's so wonderful to be that poor in spirit and to be brought lowly. As Murray says, you know, true humility, recognizing that self is nothing and God is everything. And brother, I tell you, God is helping me more and more and more to see this. And so what you see in a moment like that is me reflecting back. And it's like, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 54, I believe it's verse 5, or it might be in verse 4. Where it says, you will forget the shame of your youth. This is God speaking to Israel. And you know, brother, he has allowed me to forget the shame of my youth. I mean, I don't live every day. I've only mentioned just a few times where I have to go back and look at it as part of the storytelling. I see a video, something reminds me of it, and then comes back the shame of my youth. Not the shame and condemnation of, oh man, you know, I still feel that way. The shame and the belittling of realizing how worthless, useless, foolish, rebellious, and sinful I was. And I find it to be a good fruit, not a bad fruit. The result is more humility, more thanksgiving to God, more recognition of the fact that I literally bring nothing to this relationship and marriage except for a broken, beat down vessel. My brother, I'm looking for a place where I'm headed, so I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to tell you I love you and I thank God for you. I'm so thankful that you care. I just wanted to give you some more insight, so hopefully you weren't misunderstanding. I'm not, you know, one of those, I can never do anything right. I'm just a schmuck. No, but indeed it is true. It's very bizarre. It's hard to explain. So, brother, regarding that gentleman who contacted me, I was just curious if he found my information through you, like if you know this guy, or is it just a coincidence that he happened to contact me? That's what I was asking, not how he got. He just simply emailed me. I mean, anybody can email me by going to, you know, the website. I think he used the contact form. So it wasn't, I didn't feel there was anything inappropriate at all. I was just really curious, you know, was it a coincidence? Or had indeed, do you know this guy? And I'm going to email him back. I haven't done so yet, but I'll email him back. But brother, thank you again for emailing. Thank you for your support. Thank you for loving Jesus with us, brother. Just thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. I'm taking the day off. I'm going to have a little bit of fun, outdoor activity all by myself, and just taking some time off and just relaxing and resting in the Lord, brother. Hope you're doing the same thing, and may the peace and abundant grace of Jesus Christ continue to be yours in Jesus' name. Bye-bye, brother.